Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. It's a Friday, y'all, and we're getting you all the way to go home time and out of here for the weekend. Father's Day weekend, too, by the way. JP, don't forget Father's Day weekend.
So, oh, I know. I'm going up to Huntsville and partaking in the protest. Or not partaking, but watching the protest while I'm up there.
Say it's not so. All right, we'll get pictures.
Yeah.
get video. How about that?
I'm actually not going to the protest. I value my life. And so, yeah.
Fair enough. I think it's going to be a fizzle. Hey, listen, we're going to switch gears a little bit. So we've talked a while here about Israel and Iran. We had our moment of JP on sports. And now we're going to switch to, I'm going to go ahead and call it audible. We're moving straight to home fries. So, yeah, you may recall that I've said multiple times that what happens in your own backyard, what happens in and around and amongst us right here in our own state capital or in and around, you know, the different venues in our state can sometimes impact your life way more than what happens in D.C. or in some international tribunal. So all I'm saying is every once in a while, we got to cook up a batch of home fries. Yeah, cook them up. All right, and to help us out with that right now, I'm bringing on somebody who cooks up a lot of home fries. That'd be our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Phil.
Well, thank you for being on. Hey, before we cook up the home fries, though, I got to ask you, any thoughts on this wave of news we're seeing right now out of Iran and Israel? Obviously, it's not something the Alabama Policy Institute deals with per se, but it still feels like it means something.
No, it feels significant, and it's one of those moments, and you know I've got a bunch of kids. I came across Twitter after dinner or whatever time that was around dinner time yesterday, and I made the announcement to the room. You know what I mean? It feels like one of those moments that might be defining. And it's one of those things, too, you know, this is literally a biblically old situation, and it's difficult to extract yourself, you know, put the politics into it without taking your spiritual life out of it and vice versa. And so, yeah, it feels like one of those moments that we may look back on as a pivotal moment in history for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I also think that it's a very defining moment here in the new Trump administration. I mean, this is foreign policy taking a dramatic shift, because I think if this had been the continuation of the Biden era, we would have seen more appeasement, more palace of cash,
sure.
More meaningless red lines. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole new day.
Well, and I will say this too, and I think we've talked about this. I know we have offline. I can't remember if we have online, but I was pretty surprised, and I'm not usually naive. I was pretty surprised by the pro-Palestinian unrest, even in the state of Alabama, you know, in the last year or two. And, you know, I think that we can probably expect, you know, whatever this King situation that, you know, is the current protest of the day will, I think, probably shift into some more of that, you know, Israeli versus Palestine protesting. That's my prediction, just because I think it's just going to come right back around. That's frankly, in my estimation, distasteful. Both of them are, because one's anti-American, in my opinion, and
right.
One is anti-Israeli. And I just think that it's an interesting thing, because those two protest groups seem to be fully aligned.
Oh, they're fully aligned. They're probably fully funded by the same people too.
I imagine so.
Yeah,
yeah. This is at what we call AstroTurf, not grassroots.
Excellent. The No Kings protests, which are allegedly going to be popping up around the nation. In some places they already have been. I think they had like a couple of dozen people in Nashville today.
Oh, interesting.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah. But No Kings, if they go down that road and they start waving Palestinian flags and they move from being, you know, no to Trump but yes to Palestine, it's gonna
right.
co-opt the whole moment for them, and they're gonna lose everything they're trying. But I'm fine, you know, go ahead. Give us more audio that we can use for the campaign ads coming up in the next cycle.
That's right.
I'm all for it.
That's right. And then also this, you know, the rash of anti-Semitism has
yes.
just been really disgusting, frankly. And it's cropped up more places than I anticipated, and much more violent. That situation in D.C. was absolutely
oh, it was gross.
Abhorrent.
That's horrible.
And so, Yeah, if it morphs into that, I can see kind of, you know, the lines being even further drawn a little deeper in the sand. You know, it feels like us versus them a little bit.
Well, let's talk about state stuff for a minute.
Sure.
So I have a rumored conversation that there is a lot of policy making and planning going into a future potential Tuberville, you know, gubernatorial office holding. What am I trying to say? He's going to be governor. he's sweeping things. I got so lost in my words. But anyway, but the reality is right now, unless, you know, something really drastic changes, we're looking at, you know, mm-hmm. Governor Tommy Tuberville here in a couple of years. And I'm hearing that the Alabama Policy Institute might be able to assist with developing policy, because you guys have already been on this. It's what you do. I was there with you for, or there before you, but I was on staff, and I know that policy is why you exist. What would you imagine? Like, what would a list like that look like if you said, "Hey, coach, here's a battle plan. Do these things." What would be on that dream sheet?
Yeah, you know, we started doing the blueprint for Alabama a couple of years ago, building off of what Gary and you and some others had done to make this 30-point plan on an annual basis. But now we have a new project, and our new project is, you know, not only what we think ought to be done next year, but what ought to be done next quadrennium. And so we're doing the blueprint for 2026. We already have our list, and we're working on the issues. And now we're setting a plan that is somewhat aspirational, because you put things on, it's like what we were talking about with the bucket list. You put things on your list that are slightly unattainable so that you reach for things instead of just having, you know, kind of the same old ideas regurgitated. But I think that there's a real opportunity in the state, because, you know, we have all the statewide elected, so many are term limited. There's a fruit basket turnover. We have the possibility of Coach Tuberville coming in from a U.S. Senate seat, which is fairly uncommon, as you know, in Alabama, but also nationwide. And so, and then you have the Trump presidency in the midst of all of this. And so I think there are a lot of opportunities to do some things that you and I have been talking about for a really long time.
Yep.
And then there are also the possibilities of bringing in the concepts of, you know, making America healthy again, make Alabama healthy again, and the DOGE project. You know, there are a lot of things that you and I talk about a lot, like occupational licensing reform, certificate of need reform, and the RAINS Act, which we were emailing each other about the other day, budgetary reform, tax cuts. You know, it is the possibility to set the reset button, to hit that reset button in Montgomery. And we are certainly not going to waste it. We'll have more ideas than he will be able to choose. He'll have to choose from our large number of ideas. It's one of those things, you know, it's an opportunity for us to really create a plan that we think is the best plan for the state of Alabama. And then also, like I said, tie to those national issues that are just catching fire and catching the attention of the American people, and bringing those things to Alabama. I love Alabama. I know you do too. We live here on purpose. We could live other places. We live here on purpose, and we want, you know, I personally want my kids and my grandkids to live here. And so there are a lot of, there's some low hanging fruit, but there are also some very difficult issues on the healthcare side. We've got some really difficult issues with maternity outcomes, and then, you know, on the education side, there's plenty of work to be done in that K-12 system.
Oh, it's a never-ending stream, yeah.
Yes, and then also, you know, he's been on record saying that he's for universal school choice, which of course is music to our ears, and he's also really interested, I think, in restructuring this state, restructuring our tax system to make it more business friendly, which is also music to our ears, because we've gotten into this rut, in my opinion, over the last, especially 10 years or so, which is our budgets have been in surplus since 2016. We spend all we have plus some every single year.
Yep.
We give pay raises. There's not a lot of attention on the budgets. There's not a lot of transparency with the budgets. And, you know, the taxing and spending with a Republican supermajority legislature is more than frustrating for somebody like us at
APA. Yes, it is. I'll tell you what, can you hang on during a break and come right back and finish this conversation a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
All right, good. So when we come back, I want to talk about what it might be like for a governor in Alabama to actually be vocal and be leading on the issue and see whether the legislature will follow. We're with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, going back to the phones right now with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Steph, let me ask you, me personally, I feel like it's been quite a while since Alabama had what I would call a vocal and energetic governor. It feels like a long time. Which, you know, there's something to be said for that. I don't necessarily want like somebody who's grandstanding all the time, but my gosh, you want somebody who's leading and who's, I mean, look what Ron DeSantis has been able to do. And at times he was doing like Trump does in D.C., pulling the legislature along. Other times he was joining forces with them, setting an agenda.
Right.
All right. What do you think, if assuming that Tuberville is the heir apparent, is Tuberville, is he going to be that much more energetic, do you think? And will the leadership from the chief executive, will the legislature join him in it?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you're old guard, I'm old guard. You know, I think that we remember a, kind of a different dynamic in Montgomery than what's occurred over the last decade or so. And, you know, having a governor with an agenda and a plan and having a governor that is not scared to tell the truth and also not scared to use the bully pulpit in the legislative process is going to be something that the vast majority of our state legislature has never experienced before.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys that came in with you are no longer there.
Right.
And then the ones that, you know, have been around as long as I've been around, there are just a few of them. You know, there's Steve Klaus, there's Jim Carnes, there's Jabbo, there's a handful. It will be interesting to see not only how the legislators, especially the legislative leadership, reacts when there's disagreement, but also it will be very interesting to see how the lobbying class tries to handle that situation.
Point.
Because they are also not used to having to go across the street. They're not used to having to, you know, do a lot of the preparation work. That's a little more broad through the agencies, through the you always go through the legislative director or the political director of the governor and the chief of staff, et cetera. But to have an activist governor that is trying to make their own way and bring the legislature along with them is something that, yeah, like I said, I don't think that a lot of, you know, unless you've been there three quadrenniums, that hasn't been your personal experience.
No, not at all. And, you know, you worked for Governor Riley, am I correct when I say that?
Yeah,
you worked in the and I've said several times that Governor Riley is the last one we've had in office who was what I would call kind of gamey. I mean, he was willing to mix it up. He would call people out. He would have a plan. And
he wasn't scared to have a press conference.
Yeah.
and lay it out.
The way things were going, you know? He would call it.
That's right. And I think that will be more of the model if Coach Tuberville is in that office. I think that's what he's become accustomed to because he's been in this divisive, you know, kind of uphill battle. I mean, even with Trump in the White House, you know, Congress is an uphill battle, right? So, and he's been in this uphill battle legislatively. So I think that will actually come really naturally to him, that he will immediately understand that not everybody in the Republican supermajority legislature, you know, thinks exactly the way he does. And my guess is that, you know, I don't think he'll be a tyrant by any means, but I think that he will be, you know, strong. And I think that he will also expect for people to come along with a lot of the ideas that he brings to the table.
Yeah, and I think he will also expect that if they ran a campaign commercial in which they touted themselves as a conservative, that he may actually point that out to them and say, oh, by the way, here's what you said about yourself, and here's the bill I've got. Why would you not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think he's, you know, he's a coach. He keeps score, just like we do at API. So, you know, there's not going to be a time, I don't think, when he just, you know, lets things go or lets things languish.
So you're saying he'll make them take a lap. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and he's a pretty direct guy. You know, I mean, I think he's a direct person. I think he wants people to be honest with him. And I think in turn, he tries to be honest with people. So, yeah, I think that he'll come in with that expectation. And it remains to be seen, especially how the legislative leadership will react to that, because they've been running their own show for a while.
Well, they have. Now, Garland Gudger is still fairly fresh in the job still. I mean, he got,
right.
one session to get his feet
one
wet.
Session.
I look forward to seeing whether he can do more. But, of course, Nathaniel Ledbetter's now been there for, what, a couple of quadrenniums at least. No, one quadrennium.
Just one.
Yeah,
right.
Just one. But still, 4 years.
But three, yeah. Yeah, he's working on his fourth year.
Well, we'll see. But I think it's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be far more dynamic. And I look forward to actually having somebody who speaks up and speaks up with a bit more energy, like I said earlier. So, well, hey, Stephanie Smith, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the work that y'all do. If folks want to figure out more about the Alabama Policy Institute, where can they find you?
You can find us on all social media under Alabama Policy. And then our website is alabamapolicy.org.
All right. Thank you, my friend. You have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You too, Phil. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. All right. We're about to take a break here. We got about 1 minute, but I will just point out that the Alabama Policy Institute, I actually worked there. When I left the legislature in 2018, I went on staff there and was dual-hatted, kind of like I'm dual-hatted now, practicing law, but also working with the Policy Institute on good government, if you will, policy issues, conservative policy agendas, and advocating for things that we would all want to see happen in Montgomery. If you want to do a deep dive, if you're like, hey, what about that bill? Hey, why don't they do this thing? Hey, what's she talking about when she said this piece about, like, I don't know, occupational licensure or whatever? There's so many amazing things on their website. I would really encourage you. When I was a state senator, I literally used their stuff to help me argue my bills, or to argue against bad bills. They would post research online. So if you're one of those who, like, man, I want to get more details. I want some stuff on it. I want the history. Well, you go to alabamapolicy.org. I guarantee you, you're going to find a whole bunch of stuff. And they're also, by the way, a great organization. You might even want to get involved. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Last half hour on a Friday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.